Kind of deal, you know.
All right, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 55. Yeah, 55. Jeez. We've been doing this for a while now.
Oh, old man.
This is like the second longest relationship I've ever had.
Hey, it doesn't count as a relationship if only you are involved.
Whatever, Larry.
All right, we were just saying, Windows 8 and 9, that's why they skipped it. So that's the big geek tech news. They're skipping Windows 9, going straight to 10.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you know, Windows 9 was supposed to be the good one. So if they're skipping that, is it going to be another bad one? But anyway, let's do introduction first. I am your host, as always, the wonderful and amazing Lawrence of America. And with me is
the not so self absorbed, irredeemable
I am incredibly modest, thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm in pain. No, seriously, I'm in pain.
All right.
Not a special person in the world.
Not a magic card.
No, my leg is killing me. I don't know why.
That is the many a man of many voices screaming in agony.
Yeah.
The Danny, often imitating,
Danny.
Never, well, yeah, often intimidating, but or intimate.
My dude is you.
Well, damn it, I'm getting tongue tied. Anyway, all right, and also,
words.
You know, Peanut Gallery, if you're going to join in, join in.
But they're
not,
too busy chucking magic cards.
They're too busy playing that new red, white, and blue legend. He's got, like, you know, a general with no a deck with no creatures in it. You're awful. You're terrible. You're a horrible person. But
we've
it suits
got
you.
Normal Adam with us. Yeah, they're as predicted, Red Shirt Steve did not make it back.
Yeah, he's closing on his house, his new house.
Yeah,
good for him.
Good for him.
Jules True is truly lost.
Truly lost. He has his priorities are all messed up. He's at work today again.
Yeah, I mean, jeez.
Wow, who goes to work?
I think he's like an EMT because he keeps getting called in all these weird hours. He's a surgeon or something. But yeah, back on Windows.
Windows 10. Yeah, Windows 10, which is actually version 12 if you go back and actually look at the true.
Yeah. What's in the name? What's in the name?
Right, right. You know.
See ya.
See you later.
Bye.
No, I read this thing the other day where Windows, if you have Windows 8, they're giving you a free upgrade to the next edition of Windows. Is that still an actual thing?
Well, I think it's still a light version, but.
Yeah. Are they still, like, that sorry about putting out Windows 8 that they're willing to give you a free.
The updates to Windows 8 made it. Usable.
Right, right. They gave you a free update and free patch, and you know, and I don't know if you'll get a version of Windows 10.
Yeah,
or maybe the free Windows was Windows 9. There you go.
But Windows 10's got some great stuff going for it. The start menu's back. Thank you. I mean, you can't have Windows without a start menu.
Windows 8 was a great idea. But
it was a bit ahead of its time because people didn't have the
touch screen.
Right, right.
They didn't have a lot of the features.
Everybody I know that uses Windows 8, like on their phone or on their tablet, they love it.
Yeah.
It's the hardcore desktop users that don't like it.
Well, that's one of the things that Windows 10 is addressing, and what they're doing is putting the same operating system backbone on all their devices. Their Windows tablets, Windows phones, and Windows PCs and desktops or laptops, whatever, will all have the same core operating system at their heart, which is good. It's just great.
Which is good because Windows 8 was actually running dual OS.
Yes, yeah.
And that was my big problem with it is it takes twice the memory and said it's not universal. I still didn't like the interface, but I could have learned to live with that.
Yeah, yeah. There's some great features coming to this. Linux and Apple have had this for a while. OS 10, but there's multiple desktops now on Windows 10, which is awesome for anybody who multitasks. If you have the same computer for work and the same computer for play, or if you have a hobby, it's a great thing to have. It's awesome. I really love that feature. Yeah, I ran Linux for a while, and it was great
and
to
honestly,
have that.
Honestly, I bounced back from PC to Mac.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, Mac does have some nice features like that.
Yeah.
But realistically, they're all stealing one from the other. Oh, you know, yeah. So they're all go back and forth and who has the best little set of features.
Well, even if you look at Apple's news from a couple weeks ago, their big news was their payment system. PayPal's had that for years, and theirs has constantly gotten better. At first, they were an intermediary between the cards, and now they're a full-fledged, you know, controller of course,
PayPal's had that for a while. Google Wallet actually beat PayPal to the phone market.
It's just that everybody knows iPhone. Everybody who has an iPhone, it's a built-in market.
I don't know if they're still doing it, but Google Wallet, when it first came out, was giving you $20 to sign up for it.
Yeah.
If you were willing to sign up for it, they'd give you $20 in your Google Wallet account.
Yeah. Well, they were also hoping that people were going to turn around and spend that in the Google Store on whatever device they happen to be signing Wallet up to. Yeah.
But, you know... really, just the marketing data they would gain from you spending that $20 is
worth
it.
$20, exactly right. And that's really what we have to look at with all these new features coming out in technology nowadays. The Amazon phone. They were offering a free year of Prime when you bought the Fire Phone. Well, yeah, of course they are, because now they have all that info on all of your watching habits. They use that in the future to get you.
Right. Yeah.
Prime doesn't cost them anything.
It's not really about hardware anymore. They're not selling an iPhone. Right, they're selling you iTunes.
Like, in Facebook, that you are not only the consumer, but you're also the product.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's all advertising data or whatever. There is a new Facebook substitute.
Ello.
Yes, yeah. I shared something about the other day.
I tried to get in. I can't get in. Invites are going for like thousands of dollars.
Right.
On eBay, invites to Ello.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. So I'll wait.
See that, Mark.
Right. Now, here's my thing.
I guess I'm not going to be on that site.
Well, it's in beta. It's in a private beta right now.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see. Now, it's a nice site, but okay, here's the thing. Like, okay, Wikipedia has tons and tons of data, lives off donations.
Yeah.
But the amount of data a Facebook site would have just on personal pages, how is it going to do that?
Every day, new data. If you have a million users, that's a million images a day. A million lines of text a day.
Some.
That's just a million users. And that's nothing for a social website.
So I don't know how they could do... Because, I mean...
The buzz they're building is going to bring them a ton of funding, and they'll be able to do something with it. But if they keep
promising... How long can that last?
If they keep promising to be the anti-Facebook, it's going to push investors away because they're like, where am I going to find my money? And then what are they going to do? They're going to have to start charging users, like all the Facebook rumors that have ever come up. Oh, Facebook's going to start charging you to use it. No. But Ello, I could see them needing funding.
A non-profit type...
Big deal. Nonprofits can still charge people to access their stuff.
Right. No, it's not that they're... Yeah. I'm just saying, they're not... Supposedly, they're doing this to make the internet a better place, not to make money.
Everybody who ever does that loses.
Unfortunately.
Everybody.
Now, what they say, it's...
It's a pipe dream.
If you read, it's basically a freemium type setup.
Yeah.
So that's where their revenue stream is supposed to become, through additional add-on features.
It's peer pressure is what it is. Hey, all of your friends have all these features. You need to pay for it. You can get the features. No, thanks. I'll go to Facebook where everybody gets every feature.
Yeah. Well... I hope it's half as good as what they're promising.
I'm all for success. I wish everybody success.
Right.
I'm incredibly skeptical,
just like you. But great idea. I'm sure I'm interested to see how it goes when it goes into open. Because getting everything in private beta is one thing. You know, easily done.
Yeah.
But when it goes open, when it's... When
the private
beta, goes from 100,000 to 100 million
in a day, because that's how it'll work.
Exactly,
it'll spread like wildfire, and people will flock to the website just to try it out, man. I mean, that's what happened this weekend. So, you know, I saw a couple articles on Elo. I was like, oh, what is this? I better check it out. No, I can't get in. I looked on eBay to see if anybody was selling any keys to get in. Yeah, $1,000 for beta keys to get in.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's
not going to happen.
Well, there's some
I'm
other tech news
that
has to do with money and asking for money. Reddit put out a request looking for some funding.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they usually do a lot of their funding through native advertising.
Native advertising, and like you said, there's also a freemium there. You can get Reddit Gold, and there's a lot of other, you know, other things you can do there. But yeah, man, you can own a piece of Reddit. Buy stock in Reddit. They're saying that that's right around the corner. That's awesome. I would love to own a piece of Reddit.
As much as I use Reddit, I would.
Yeah, you know, I went to your Reddit. You don't have near as much karma as I do.
No.
And I'm not on Reddit nearly as much as you are.
No.
It's all about quality over quantity, people.
Well, you know.
I don't try to.
I know.
Yeah, you know, type it up, those clickbait articles, you know, you see.
Mine was clickbait. Yeah. Mine, there was a mass squirrel death in my neighbor's pool, and I took a picture of it. There was like 15 dead squirrels in the pool.
Oh,
and yeah, it hit like 2,000 up.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But that was my claim.
Mass squirrel death?
It was a mass squirrel death.
That's tragic. Sure,
thank you.
But, you can own a piece of the front page of the internet, which would be awesome. I should probably get a gold account first if I wanted to support them. But owning Reddit stock just sounds so cool. Everybody I ever tell about Reddit has never heard about Reddit. And then they go there and they're like, I can't believe I never heard about Reddit.
I can't believe anybody hasn't heard about it since, you know.
I've been on it for 5 years.
Fappening, you know.
Fappening?
I'm sure your grandmother's had heard about it now, you know.
Reddit's where all the news ends up first.
So,
did you everyone see the video last week of the monster truck running over people on ABC?
No.
From Sweden?
No.
I saw that on Reddit.
Sounds awesome, but no.
It was actually crazy, but I saw it on Reddit, and the video had like 200 views when I saw it the first time.
I did see,
so, yeah,
I did see the post on Reddit, but I did not see the video.
Yeah,
it's like amazing. It's like the whole WTF, like, do I really want to click that link? No.
The NS, why, not safe for work links. Yeah, I don't want to click those, but I do anyway.
Well, now they're doing not safe for work stuff for just, like, comic book spoilers and all that, if you go, to the comic book stuff.
Well, they really need to work on that.
They need to change
not safe for work tag to an actual spoiler tag so people know what they're looking
for. There is an actual spoiler tag, though.
They don't use it. People aren't using it.
No, they've just decided to go with, like, not safe for work tag. And that's
Not safe for work tagged posts on Reddit get more views just because they have the not safe for
not
work
safe
tag.
For work.
Yeah. Well, cool. What else we got? Is there any more tech news? I figured there would be. This is about that time of year where people start saying, hey, this is what's coming out, you know?
Right. I haven't heard a lot. You know, of course.
Can we talk about bending phones?
They are backpedaling on that.
Yeah.
They said that wasn't happening at first.
Who cares if it wasn't happening at first? It's happening. I saw it happen on
their statement is that wasn't a thing. It was a fluke, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it's not a fluke. If it's happening to everybody.
It's happening to a lot
of
people.
And then so many people have uploaded it. They're saying... First they said no, and they initially said no, they're not going to refund it.
Yeah.
No, now they're going to replace them,
and we'll have a new iPhone even sooner.
Yeah.
But
what are they going to replace it with? A phone that's going to warp to?
The same damn thing.
Yeah.
It warped because they went with the cheaper backing instead of the
It warped because they decided they were going to make the iPhone smaller and sleeker.
Yeah.
And
the problem is.
What is it, Larry?
People with race cars are familiar with this. Aluminum has a low melt point. If you compact your engine, it's going to get hotter.
Yeah.
So it happens to race cars melt their blocks and warp them all the time.
I just can't see anyone keeping a phone in their pocket for so long that the aluminum gets hot enough to bend and then is bending in their pocket. Is that what's happening?
It doesn't have to get that hot to bend.
Oh, just to be malleable.
Just to be
a little bit malleable.
From the pressure and bending to the curve of your buttocks.
Yeah. That's the first problem. Who's keeping a phone in there? I was told years ago that you should not keep your phone near your head because it might cause brain cancer. Even if there's just a small chance of that, I'm not keeping that near my package.
You are mean.
I'm not doing it.
Fair enough.
We've tied up. He's only one game ahead.
Not doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have to switch?
And that's another one of those things. This kills me. You talk about the brain cancer thing.
Yeah.
You know, people say you're a conspiracy theory. Cell phones cause cancer.
Yeah.
But the thing is, while the mass politician, no. Cell phone companies
are saying, don't put it near your head.
There may be an off chance.
Yeah.
They go through a radiation testing.
Yeah.
You know, they are.
I mean, they're covering their ass. Yeah. I don't blame them for doing
that. They're
I still don't think there is any solid concrete evidence that there is.
No, it's not a direct cancer. It causes cellular breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's proven.
Yeah.
Now, that's like saying, cell phones causing cancer is like eggs cause cake.
Yeah.
No, but they're a key ingredient in it.
Yes. All right.
So cellular breakdown makes you susceptible to cancer.
Yes.
That's what it is.
So don't use your cell phone.
It's simple. Get a freaking headset. Not a Bluetooth headset, because that doubles the amount of electricity.
Yeah.
Get a wired headset. They're cheaper. And guess what? Yeah. The bubble of radiation, you can set it up.
Lower.
And you know what? Seeing how the NSA, FBI, CIA, and the Secret Service are all recording and monitoring your phone calls anyway, go ahead, share them with the public. Put it on speakerphone. I mean,
hey,
you think I'm a conspiracy theorist because of this?
Not.
No,
they
it's
are.
The truth. Yeah. It's in your contract. It's in that stuff that you do not read and you just clicked accept. Yeah.
Well, that's not to
you
say that
agreed to it.
But the NSA certainly isn't doing anything to me. I don't have anything going on.
They're
but
recording
yes,
your
right.
phone. Every
right.
cell phone call coming into America, made within America, or going out of America, is recorded by
and,
the
and
NSA.
Searched by a computer program. For
right,
keywords.
Exactly.
Yeah,
keywords.
That's why I always end with my phone calls with Taliban rocks.
What was it? When they first started this program, back, 10 years ago, they started doing this, recording all the emails, scanning everything. Back Tech TV had this program where they just want to, like, here are the keywords it's reporting. Use these words as much as possible as you can today.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
What other kind of news we got?
John Oliver did a great piece on drone strikes. He covered it well. It's online on YouTube. Go check it out.
But Larry, don't drone strikes save American troops from being put into harm's way?
Sure.
If you want
are American troops in harm's way? Why, I believe there still are.
Yes.
I don't think it's a substitute for the troop.
No.
The couple of scary things.
You should watch the new RoboCop reboot. It's all about that. They really get into the drone.
One of the things John Oliver pointed out was Congress has legally redefined the word imminent threat.
Yes.
To imminent threat, to legally mean someone that may or may not pose a threat to a person of interest, or a place, or a thing that may or may not be within the United States.
That's right. So pretty much everybody on the planet,
basically,
is
legally
an imminent threat.
Is an imminent threat.
Yes,
as determined by a regulatory committee
that is top secret.
That is top secret.
That technically does not technically exist. Does have congressional oversight. Every quarter.
Even though the Congress is not allowed to know about this.
But that's actually changed, though. The Congress is allowed to know about that. But yeah, you're right. The FICO court is the one in charge, and the FICO court is the one that has the oversight. But it's not, but like every quarter. So technically, if they do their oversight on today, the government could arrest someone tomorrow, and as long as they release them before 3 months, the government does not have to be aware of it. No one else in Congress or anything has to be aware of it.
This legal redefinition is important because it's like advertising. Like McDonald's saying their hamburgers are made with 100% beef.
Yeah, that and means, then redefining the word beef.
Well, also, beef is any part of a cow, legally. Yes. And made with means that cow could have stomped on it, you know, or walked through the plant.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been, you know, you could just spank the cow in the ass to power the conveyor belt. That could be made with 100% beef.
Yeah.
By the same definition, you know, yeah. You know, your burger is served with 100% human.
It's right. By 100% human, yeah. You're right. I get what you're saying.
So
it's entirely true. What if the person has a prosthetic?
75.
Then they're not
100%.
85.
That's true.
I said they served with. That just means they have to be in the vicinity.
They are warm body.
Nerd culture.
It's topical. It's nerd
culture. Soylent Green, sir.
Everybody should be.
Soylent Green is made with people. All right. So, also, other big thing. Yeah, of course, fall TV season starts.
Oh, man, yes.
Yay!
I finally watched the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Did you end up watching that?
I have not caught back up to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, man, it's a great episode.
It was good.
It was an awesome episode.
There's one thing I'm just really disappointed about.
In Agents, is it from last night's episode? I wasn't able to catch that yet. I watched this afternoon.
The fact that, you know, Lucy Lawless was like big news on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, well, you knew that was going to happen.
And
she was
like
only
the first episode of the second
season. She was only contracted for one episode. Though we knew it was just going to be one and done, and who knows, she could come back. It's the Marvel Universe. Everybody
right, right,
can come
right.
back.
She's going to come back for that movie money.
Yeah, right. what else? What were you going to?
Well,
talk
I was going to say I watched the Family Guy
oh,
Simpsons
dude.
Crossover.
Can
and
I say
I laughed?
What? And can I also say what a great way to make the Duff Paul Tuckett Patriot beer make that a comparison. To the ripoff that Family Guy actually is of the Simpsons.
Yeah, there's
it was
so
amazing.
Many jokes about that.
Inside
yeah.
stuff. Yeah, just
right. I loved, what's his name? The ooh piece of candy guy. I can't remember what his name
James
is.
James Woods.
James Woods,
oh, yeah.
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 The Simpsons version and the Family Guy
yes.
version talking
to
each
other.
Yeah.
The Bob's Burger cameo.
Yeah, that was
American
great.
Dad cameo.
Oh, yeah, Roger...
Cleveland show, didn't you?
Yeah, they had a Cleveland show.
Okay, so yeah, there's one scene, you know.
They're flying
Peter,
an airplane.
Peter and Homer are flying an airplane, and Bob's Burger, the Bob pops up, and like, Homer's, who's that guy? Peter's like, oh, we got to carry him. He can't fly on his own.
Yeah.
We tried to let somebody fly on their own once, see how that worked
oh,
out.
Oh, no.
And then
oh,
it cuts, no. cuts to Cleveland crashing and burning,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, there were so many inside jokes where they made fun of. Of themselves and Fox.
But my favorite was the crossover episode. These are inventive and original. And them cutting to Chris watching the Modern Family versus Archie, all
yes.
in the family.
Yeah. yeah. Brian saying, or Stewie asking Springfield, oh, what state's that in? Brian saying, I doubt they'll let us get a say.
Yeah, I doubt we can
so
say
good.
That. Yeah.
yeah.
It's like, we should visit this again. No, this seems like a one-time thing. And they leave, like, let's just agree to keep 30 minutes of crap in between us.
Stewie asking Bart, how long has Nelson been picking on you? Oh, about 20 years.
Yeah.
Just brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff.
So, like, Stewie and Bart prank calling Moe's.
Yeah.
This
is dead.
I like the UFO. About to jump the gorge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We're going to make it. No, we're not.
Yeah,
trust me, we're not.
Trust me, we're not. Yeah.
And there's definitely, because so many of us grew up watching The Simpsons.
And that's really
and
what it was.
That.
That's really what
right.
it was. Kind of like an homage to both in a way that
really
just
you
perfect.
Know, it,
yeah.
You know, it was kind of, you know, if The Simpsons were actually going to retire. You know,
this would have been a good send off.
Like a passing of the torch.
Absolutely.
That would have been the perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course, he said he was going to retire 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever.
And then they dropped a big bag of money in front of him, and he's like,
yeah,
no,
Brett Favre effect.
Stay around for a while.
I'm going to retire. Here's more money. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, everybody does that.
But
I'm okay
were,
with that.
There were crossovers that were supposed to be in it that weren't in there, like Bender
Futurama
was supposed
too.
To be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bender was supposed to be
yeah,
in there.
Yeah. I was looking for that the whole time.
I love Futurama. Maybe it was something that looked like Bender.
No, I went to all sorts of websites looking
for it.
I'm betting that we see an extended version of this on DVD.
Oh, definitely.
I say we see a second part, because if you notice, it only said part one on there. It was supposed to be a two-part, 30-minute 30 minutes.
It will be broke up in syndication.
But, it said part one only. It never said part two in there
credits,
at all.
But, credits,
Well, I'm sure that will be two parts in syndication.
I'd like to see him do a three-part.
I'm just wondering if Bender had a speaking role
in this. The best way to find out would probably be to look at John DiMaggio's IMDb and see if he's got a credit for The Simpsons Family Guy. That would be a good way to find out.
Yeah. All right, go interwebs.
Yeah.
Quickly, to the internets.
But yeah, it was a really great mishmash of two things that it looks like it'd be hard to fit them together. Not because they're so separate, but because they're so alike.
Yeah.
And they're going to mash them together. And it came out with something that was
creamy peanut butter and chunky peanut butter put together.
Yeah.
I liked when Peter said, quit liking it 13 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh, that is so bad.
Yeah, man. There was some stuff on the internet that was negative. The Simpsons has been around so long that it's almost like a kid's show now.
Yeah.
Like, the Flintstones was originally an adult show on primetime. And it moved into...
I love the Fred.
Oh, yeah, there's a Fred Flintstone cameo. Yeah, right?
That was
awesome. But a lot of people, I heard the negative aspect of this was like, no, The Simpsons is geared more towards children, in their opinion, and Family Guy is not. And mishmashing these shows together seems more like they're trying to get children to watch a show that isn't made for them. My kids have been watching Family Guy forever. Yeah, Father of the Year. But, yeah.
But you look at what was edgy in the 90s and what's edgy now.
Exactly.
Is the big difference. That's why The Simpsons is more of a kid-friendly show.
That was my whole point about it, dude.
Because they've been around so long that they've kind of pigeonholed themselves.
The Simpsons. Well, I mean, they're edgy in their own way.
They started out edgy and they started out extremely edgy
at a time when TV wasn't so edgy.
Mm-hmm. Right. They've started out and it's basically they've crossed that TV's edge has gone way sharper than although it's gotten a little bit farther. They kind of set up their family. It's a sitcom. You always end the same in a sitcom.
George, the first Bush was upset about the Simpsons because
they didn't have traditional values.
Well, when you push the boundaries, I'm telling you, everybody wants to jump on the boundary.
Kicked out of class in the third grade for wearing a Bart Simpson T-shirt.
Nice.
You
old bastard.
Actually, my teacher thought it was pretty cool. My Bart Simpson T-shirt I had.
The thing about The Simpsons is
it pushed boundaries back in the day. And it pushed them so far that it really couldn't keep up with its own boundary pushing. And then as soon as anybody pushes a boundary in any medium, somebody else jumps on there to take advantage and push it even further.
Well, when it comes to boundary pushing, really, Family Guy does pretty good.
Yeah.
It started a trend, but South Park, I mean, really, it's been on cable. It pushes them so much
further. South Park is like on the forefront.
Yeah, but it
right. has to and, be. You know,
it's what people expect.
Right. But they're on pay TV so they can get away with a lot more.
Exactly.
Family Guy definitely is on the edge of a public access, FCC regulated television.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you also have to look at it from another extreme. When you're talking about parenting and children not being really allowed to watch it when they were, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you have to think about the shows that came out that really radicalized everything, because you had All in the Family, like you guys mentioned earlier, that was seen as a racially motivated show because he didn't care for black people.
Yeah.
Then you have The Jeffersons, which was a spinoff of that show. And then you're also comparing it to Family Guy now and how much alike the two shows are, but they're different in other aspects.
Yeah.
She was sheltered as a child.
No, she's absolutely right, though.
I mean, there's that sheltering aspect.
Yeah.
You have to watch the furthering of TV as it goes. Because what we see as, that's not a big deal, because you see Itchy and Scratchy on The Simpsons.
Exactly.
That was very grotesque
in
the 80s and 90s. Where you look at the show now and you're like, oh, well, that's nothing compared to what they see on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And you gotta think, like Itchy and Scratchy, they were paying homage to the old Tom and Jerry. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just the same way Family Guy pays homage to Simpsons.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and really, if you look, Tom and Jerry were considered you know, violent. Yeah. Did you watch
the Simpsons that premiered, the season premiere of the Simpsons that premiered before that, Family Guy?
I missed it.
It was Krusty's dad dies, the rabbi.
Really?
It was one of the most anti-Semitic Simpsons I think anyone could ever imagine.
Really?
But they were very understated and great jokes made by a Jewish character that it's kind of Family Guy-esque in the way that they were treating their jokes.
So you're saying they weren't cheap with the jokes?
No, they weren't cheap. No, they well, Family Guy is very cheap with the jokes, but that's kind of their bag. Right. You know, Simpsons has been smart in the past, so they try to be smart now. And I think they did a good job with this episode. But I think you can watch The Simpsons from when it started till now.
You're saying it's a great episode, but it's anti-Jew?
But it were Jewish people making the jokes. I'm not sure. Is it
anti-Semitic?
I don't think so. But I'm not Jewish. I can't say whether something is anti-Semitic. I don't have perspective to do that.
But there were
people on the internet afterwards who were saying that some of the jokes on there did lean a little bit more towards anti-Semitism.
Basically, was it stuff American Dad and Family Guy could get away with, but people think Simpsons could?
As Drew Carey once said,
that was my main point. I think The Simpsons is pushing the boundary a little bit more, and the reason they're able to do that is because of shows that ripped them off from the moment when in the 80s and 90s when they were cutting edge. They went into a little bit of a dip, you know, when they went mainstream, and it's been like that for a while. But now everyone, they even make the joke in the episode that haven't watched Simpsons in 13 years. Maybe Simpsons is trying to grab some of that edge made possible by Family Guy and other shows like that.
I was about to say, Drew Carey, on the Drew Carey Show, had a line there. He said, "Oh, here's a politically correct joke for you. Two people walk into a place. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, you know, Family Guy, they originally had the Wish Upon a Weinstein episode that got pulled, you know, from their very first season.
Everybody's here, but even Optimus Prime.
But you also have to look at the Family Guy episode where they pulled the episode with the girl that had Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Which is worse.
Yeah, exactly. Neither one.
I thought that was a hilarious episode.
It's supposed to be.
Palin, too.
It's supposed to be.
Exactly.
But yeah, Palin got on that. But there were other people with Down syndrome that came out and said, no, let them do it.
The female that voiced it was a woman with Down syndrome.
Exactly, exactly.
And she thought it was hilarious.
If you can't make fun of yourself, then, you know.
Who can you make fun of?
Yeah, dude,
And a lot of these people getting upset of this. If you guys think it's all about intent, you know, this is obviously.
Well, no,
you know,
but I think the intent now is to push the boundary.
Right, but the intent is to
if
get
someone
laughs,
says that's
not
taboo.
To actually.
Oh, of course, they're not going to do it unless there's a funny joke. They're not just going to say something blatantly racist unless it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, they made fun of Cleveland show crashing.
Yeah,
and it wasn't that it was a negative thing towards race. It was just, you know, you sucked.
But even Snoop Dogg
was at a roast making fun of the Cleveland show, saying that you made this for black people and black people don't even watch it.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's
my problem with the Cleveland show, it seemed racist to me.
It was a pretty racist show. It really was.
And here's the thing, you know, it's like Cleveland is voiced by a white guy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now everybody else was voiced by African American or people of color.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, all the family.
Yes. But,
yeah. And it just so. I just couldn't imagine if I'm the guy playing Cleveland going in there reading some of those lines and be like, are you sure?
Am I going to get you know?
Right? after a decade on Family Guy, though, I'm sure he's used to it, you know?
Yeah, but
he's also surrounded by other people.
He's surrounded by white people for the most part.
They had to know that going into it, though. Hey, we're doing a show that's like with a spin-off character from Family Guy. You have to know what you're getting into.
It's a tongue-in-cheek
Yeah. But I think you can go and take The Simpsons and actually do a great synopsis of American culture as far as what the American public is capable of accepting without blowing up and being pissed off about it
for over a generation.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's I don't think there's been another show that's crossed that those sort of lines have been for on that for that long.
Yeah.
Well, and especially a show that addresses the things that The Simpsons likes to address.
Well, there was one show that tried to do that, Saved by the Bell. Tried to breach those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But it kind of crashed once they got to college, and then the show
the very nature of that show being set in school and being pushed to kids, automatically the censors are all over it, you know, more than it would be a Fox prime time show. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love Saved by the Bell, man.
Many in the morning and the long as I'm working, I don't think
have you
I'm
seen the Robot Chicken episode?
No. But gotta watch I don't mind Robot Chicken, but well, yeah, my wife has a
weird
bad
things
problem
about
Robot
Chicken.
She does too, but we think it's hilarious.
Yeah, well, why don't y'all go ahead and introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Well, we're Gary and Gary.
Gary Jr., Gary the Third.
And I'm Big Gary's wife and Little Gary's mom, so I'm Heather.
Alright, and now, y'all Garys have been on the podcast before, but I think this is a first for you, Heather. Yeah, so welcome.
Thank you.
And like I said, this podcast is always open, because we're always welcoming other people's opinions.
Always.
We have it's a community show.
Yeah,
so we definitely want community feedback.
Every Wednesday, about noonish, at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie!
What's next on the agenda? What else do we want to talk about? Well, you wanted about TV. Did you see Gotham? Have you watched Gotham?
I watched the second Gotham.
I'm impressed with Gotham. I am impressed.
I definitely liked it. One thing bugged me about the episode, and I just... Okay,
what
so...
What was it? Just spit it out, Larry. Right,
Penguin rented a room. I rented a trailer.
From a farmer.
From a farmer.
Yeah, it wasn't like he went and filled out a lease agreement.
Right. But here's the thing. Yeah. He drives up room for rent? Yeah. $100 a week. I'll take it. Okay.
Okay.
I don't care how liberal the guy is. He's at least going to ask for an ID or get him to sign a paper saying he's not going to burn the place down.
Well, no, this is the guy growing all the drugs that they're selling in Gotham, though. This dude doesn't care, this farmer.
But he also was looking towards the back seat. You could tell there was something in the back seat wrapped up.
Yeah. If he was the guy growing the drugs,
he'd be like, hell no.
Even more curious.
He'd have been worried that he was a cop.
That was a little bit of a...
Yeah, but other than that, I mean...
It's fantasy.
Yeah,
so,
but it's good.
I liked it.
Oh,
I liked
fun.
It a lot.
Falcone.
I think from a woman's perspective, I'm enjoying the stronger women characters on the show.
Yeah.
I'm loving how they're developing Kat. I'm enjoying Fish. I mean,
she's
I'm not
awesome.
I'm not a huge fan of Jada Pinkett Smith, but she's really pulled Fish really well.
Yeah.
I mean, she's strong.
Well, she's a geek.
She's powerful.
Yeah. She's a
she
geek.
Is.
She knows
she
what
is.
Geeks
Absolutely.
Want out of a character. Yeah.
But for me, the one thing that's really kind of killing it for me is Alfred. I cannot stand the way he acts.
He's
a butler. He's British. There are certain codes of ethics that come along with that.
I see that.
He's out of that league.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He's British in this incarnation.
No, he's definitely British.
He's got a Hackney British accent.
Yeah.
He's Hackney. He's not proper English standard.
Yeah.
He is Hackney.
I
have a problem with that.
I'm okay with that. The problem I have on the surface with Alfred, you know, until I give it some thought, is the way he's treating Bruce like a little bitch. And he is.
Thank you.
Yeah, but Bruce is a little kid. Alfred's still trying to come to terms with everything that's going on. And I think Alfred is bound to have a moment. In this episode, he had a couple moments when he went and talked to Gordon, and when he grabbed Bruce, and
that irked me more than anything.
But I understood why they did
it. I actually liked that part because remember in the last episode, I had said I didn't like the fact that Bruce had told him to stay quiet about something. Here's the thing: you're a child.
Guardian.
I'm raising you.
Yeah,
I'm the adult. You're a child.
It's a very complicated relationship, and they're just now coming to terms with the Waynes, who are Bruce's parents. And if it's anything like the comics, Alfred's best friends in the whole world, and they're both confused, coming to terms. Yeah.
I was more bugged by Jim Gordon shooting somebody than that.
Well, he didn't in this episode?
Yeah.
Who did he shoot?
Yeah, he killed the guy. He killed the guy in the street.
Oh, that's right. But he pulled a gun on him, didn't he?
No, not the guy on the
inside. When they were inside,
he had a gun pulled. Yes,
but still.
I was disappointed with the cop acting like a cop.
No, I just think the character would shoot to maim before shooting.
No,
to kill.
Cops are not taught to
not
shoot
if
to maim.
You have somebody aiming a gun to shoot.
Yeah,
you.
Man.
You're
yeah.
going to shoot but whatever
here's the thing.
You can.
I also had a problem with him feeling guilty about the guy in the first episode that was framed. They're coming at him with a knife and his partner's shooting him.
Yeah.
Okay, so he didn't kill the Waynes, but he was coming at you with a knife.
Yeah.
He had already shot at you and was coming at you with a knife.
Yeah,
that's
that
attempted
was,
murder.
That's
of a cop.
Bigger problem for me than what happened in the.
You
in
felt
episode
guilty for that?
the whole sequence didn't sit right with me because first of all, the guy stopped and was like, like he was, realistically, he just would have walked in there and started opening fire.
Yeah, there might be some story hiccups there, but yeah, I see what you're saying, but I'm not sure.
Even really, the problem is. The way it just, like, it didn't seem like he turned and he had the gun on him, and then he shot. There was a nice split second there.
I hear you.
They could have edited that out a little tighter or something. I don't know. It just didn't
sit
right
with
me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yes, if he legitimately thought he was in defense, you know, but I would have rather have been more convinced if the guy actually turned and fired,
and then
and
it was
he shot him.
Yeah,
and he just he fired off because
that's
he just
so
got
small.
But how long?
I mean,
does a bad guy
that's
have
like
to have
a
horrible aim?
Yeah, right.
No. That's what I'm saying. If he turns and it was in the act of firing. And got shot, he still would have squeezed the trigger.
Yeah, but in the act of shooting and the guy shoots you, you shot too late because you're already shot.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I would have still liked to have seen him pull the trigger. That way we know he would have actually... He had to defend himself.
Okay, my thing is, though, if somebody's turning to you, has their finger on a trigger...
They took the bus, is it?
No. That came in the very last scene.
Yeah, my thing is, if a guy's turning at you, he's got his finger on the trigger, he has the intent to shoot you.
Yeah,
man. I'm going to shoot you first.
I was okay with that.
I have no problem with his, I have no problem with his character so far, except for, like I said, that one where he felt guilty, someone who was trying to kill him.
I was okay with that.
Right. This is a very minor little detail.
Yeah.
I just think so. Story-wise, the guy I mean, and that actually, if you have your finger on the trigger and you get shot, proving you're more likely to pull the trigger, even if you're not intending
just
to
from your body seizing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I do like
you're not going to aim very well, though. With
Right.
I do like the fact with his character, he's not been whiny.
Gordon.
Yes.
No, you're absolutely right.
I'm so glad
he understands the pool that he's in is full of sharks that will eat him, and he's. He's tiptoeing around it. You could tell when Barbara was made in that phone call to the newspaper. He's tiptoeing around. He does not want to do the good thing because he is scared that the people who don't want him to do the good thing will hurt him and his family.
And basically, that's everybody around him.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've already shown that the mayor...
I know, I hate the mayor.
Oh, he's bad.
Yeah, you've already shown that the mayor, the chief of police,
everybody else, your partner,
and everybody else is willing to kill...
Yeah.
Beat people.
Quote
for no
from the
reason.
Commissioner. This is Gotham. You have
the
to bend or you'll break.
The cop
what?
That was supposed to secure the scene, but instead he went to that.
Because he was getting paid extra.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's like when they were talking about the kids being transported. He looks at the mayor and he says, "Look, you have tried and convicted them before they've even had a chance in court."
Yeah.
And the judge and the mayor looks at him and says, "Well, thank you for your opinion.
Yeah.
That's it."
Yeah.
Really?
They're really getting the politics in there in a great way, and how Batman has to rise above everything.
And like how we were talking
really
last week.
Really setting the stage well.
How we were talking last week, and I was talking about how there couldn't be Gordon losing all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it's making it seem, it's giving it better perspective of he can win, but still lose.
Yes.
Because everybody's already against him.
Heavy odds.
Yeah. Some concerns, Dollmaker.
I thought they mentioned that name way too many times.
Dollmaker is going to be in next episode. That bus
right,
is going to end up there with those kids.
No, they
rescue
kids.
They rescue kids. Oh, that's right, they rescue kids. But Dollmaker's still going to be like a big part.
It's right, right. Kind of but
weird. He's already an arrow.
Yeah.
So.
But that doesn't matter. Different world.
But still, it's weird.
They have established Queen Consolidated in this episode.
Yeah, it was in that episode.
If
yeah.
He pointed it out to me. They showed a cityscape, and the green cue was on a building.
Yep. Yep.
He's yeah, right. But that's a different world.
We don't know that
CW
yet.
CW is a different world than Fox.
But yeah, the thing is, they're leaving
be
that open ended.
For them to do a crossover than it would be.
Well, it could have just
you
been an honest
thing. You're not going to be a, you're not going to be able to do a crossover. It's
and they're
different
still and they're still leaving it open ended.
Right.
And have they even said that it's quote unquote
no,
modern
haven't.
Day in the show?
They
exactly.
Have.
No,
they have
exactly.
Not said what time
it is. Here's what I'm saying. It's not that the Dollmaker is going to be in it. Absolutely. It's that they said the name 13
like, yeah.
times. No, they said it more.
They said a lot, yeah.
They said it three or four times in a single scene within 30 seconds.
There's a... They got Professor Pig supposed to come in. Yeah.
Why are these people coming in now? They're supposed to come in after Batman.
After Batman. Batman is supposed
Batman
to be
the catalyst.
This is going to be its own thing. You can't compare it.
There's one
That's
person
what
you can
ruin it for
But
me.
There's one person you cannot bring in completely is the Joker.
Yes.
That's the only one you can say, no, you cannot bring
I mean,
him.
You can bring in a Dr. Crane. He may not be Scarecrow yet, but you can bring him in. Like, they brought in Enigma,
yeah,
and he's not quite the Riddler yet.
I love how awkward he is
in the
show.
Now, I have to say, I love Enigma in this as
too.
A science, as
yes.
Yeah, CSI guy.
I know.
Completely in love. It's right up his alley.
Yep.
It's different. The only thing is, Enigma was an inventor as well. Show us the inventive side of him as well.
Well, they've got time to get to that, but you're right. They've only used him a couple of times, brief scenes in the pilot and episode two. And yeah, I think it's perfect. It's great alluding to the future, and yeah, there's a lot. The good stuff coming out of Gotham is a lot better than the bad stuff coming out. It's only two episodes, but yeah.
I worry about them using him to come up with the answer to like this one. He basically shows up and gives them the answer.
Have you never seen an episode of CSI or NCIS, it's always the science dude bringing them the answer. Every time.
Right, right. I do want to see some episodes with Jim Gordon doing just doing some good
doing
detective work.
Yeah, yeah but yeah. If he comes up with the answer, you wouldn't need Batman. He'd have been able to come up with the answer for Gotham.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, I can understand
they
that character
are treading
that,
on thin ice
that may
on
throw
every
the
episode.
Answer out there a little.
Yeah, they
may give you that a little bit.
The show is really treading on thin ice at every episode. Any episode, it could jump the shark and do something that will totally ruin the series for me. They have to tread very carefully.
Yeah.
They really do.
Now, my question is there a character you really don't like the person playing it?
No, the Selina Kyle thing has to grow on me because I want to see more of it. But no, I don't have a problem with
I like
with
the way they've
the
been
castings.
Playing her, though.
Yeah.
Just going around watching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like us.
Yeah.
She's kind of like the audience.
She's so observant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 The only person I'm really not crazy
Alfred.
About is the person playing. Well, yes, Alfred.
Yeah.
I've already vocalized that one,
yeah.
But I'm not crazy about Penguin.
Penguin's going to have to grow on you, too. He needs to be a little bigger.
That right there doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. He's got like 20 years to
get
all that weight.
He can't shrink.
Exactly.
He's way too tall.
If you gain weight and then your gait by that will shrink
you. I think that they're kind of establishing that because he took the beating from Fish.
Yeah.
And he was walking down the highway and the guy that picked him up was like, dude, you walk like a penguin.
Yeah.
He did have the penguin.
Penguin
that's the first time you've ever seen a penguin beat up by a fish.
And
he was
right,
crippled.
Right.
He's been crippled.
Right. And see, in reality, as he gets older, what happens with men?
Yeah, slouchy.
They slouch
and
they
trust me. I saw a cousin yesterday who's shrunk 4 inches.
Really?
Yeah.
Has he had an umbrella?
No.
Just on that first episode.
First
episode.
Well, he was holding it for fish, though. Yeah, so I
don't
know.
There was no weapon engaged.
Yeah.
And it did show how he liked beating people.
Yeah,
And
how he was messed in the head. Yeah,
I liked how that when that guy said anybody ever said you look like a penguin, and just was like, okay, kill him.
Done.
Done.
Definitely a ton of potential in that show.
I thought it was hilarious.
I just hope they don't go too far with it.
What's gonna kill it for you is you trying to compare it to comic references.
It's, how is that not? How can we not? It's based on a comic book universe.
I didn't like how the bad guys
inspired by a comic book universe.
Like Needle.
No, it's based on a comic
book. It's based, dude. Inspired, there'd be a town called Gotham full of a bunch of different people. We don't know their names. These are Bat family characters coming out of
the show. Right, right. What I'm saying is these characters are all going to be different than they are in the comics.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
Impossible.
I don't have a problem with them being slightly different than what they are in the
they
comics.
They should be.
I just have a problem with real, actual Batman villains like Professor Pig or Dollmaker showing up before Batman shows up. Because Batman is the reason they show up.
Yeah. I have an issue with that. If when Professor Pig, I saw him on the preview or whatever, on the, I was like, no.
Gordon should not be fighting Professor Pig. He should be fighting Falcone. He should be fighting Fish Mooney. That is what the show should be.
I like Don Falcone.
Oh, Falcone was perfect. So who's your man around here talking to Fish? Just looking for someone to beat the crap out of, to screw you over, Fish.
I thought that was funny.
Awesome.
That was funny.
Yeah. Let's move to something else. We got another TV show to talk about? More TV?
What else are you watching? Flash come out?
Flash is this week?
Next week.
Yeah, well, within a week.
Yeah, within a week.
There's a couple more.
I still can't wait.
Coming
that's going to be good.
But,
Dead comes out in, what, a week or so?
Walking Dead comes out in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Walking Dead. So.
And I'm so stoked for The Walking Dead.
Yeah, see, Walking Dead is going to be his 18th birthday.
Nice.
So, we're looking forward to that.
They added the season 4 to the next Netflix yesterday.
Awesome.
Time to rewatch.
Yeah.
I just wish that.
And it's fun. Last season with the whole flu and the governor, it was not my favorite season.
It was weepy cry boring.
It was
to
not,
some degree.
It was not my favorite season. Larry here is like one of the biggest Walking Dead fans I know, and he hated last season.
Actually, I like the fact they did different characters in different episodes.
Yeah, they
like
did
that
different
part
characters,
of it.
And then they died. They added all these new characters.
You have one for Daryl, and then you have Carol going out. I like this separate.
That was cool. Yeah. Yeah,
my big problem was I know what's going to happen
because you've read the comic.
And that's because it started out differently, and now they're going right to be just like the comic.
I'm okay with that since the announcement of the spinoff, where we will get new content. They should take advantage of the content already established.
Right,
they should.
The thing is, that's like saying, we're just going to try and make this MP3 like Beethoven's Fifth.
The Walking Dead, one of the most popular comic books on shelves, and comparing it to crap, pretty much, and that's just not fair.
I have a question. How long until the woman that plays Tasha Yar dies in this show?
I give her episode 4.
Okay.
She
has to die.
Laser whips to go out with this time.
She has to die.
Everything
I've ever seen her in, she dies.
Pool of sludge, right?
She dies.
Oh, well, you know, it worked for Odo going into a big pool of sludge.
Yeah.
she's a great dying character.
Yeah. She's the Sean B.
Well, no.
Yeah, she's the Sean B of the Trek universe.
We're taking an established, award-winning medium.
The comic.
And watering it down.
For cable.
To a medium that can't compare. I mean,
cannot compare to that medium. But if you take The Walking Dead and just see it in the TV medium, taking a direct adaptation of the comic book and Walking Dead is totally different than anything on TV right now.
But you also have to consider, too, you have people who do not read comic books.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when you have the show this is gone with the wind for them of the week. This is like the epic thing. But when you're a comic book reader, you're seeing it as, it's just a companion piece.
If you've read Gone with the Wind, the movie is not that good.
Because
you've read it.
Exactly. The
if
book
read
is so
yeah,
much
but that's
better.
Like any book.
It's exactly. That's like any book. And I think this
says
more for the awesomeness of comic books than it does for the negativity of that show.
Yeah.
The comic book's just that awesome.
But the whole thing with this show, why this makes me so mad, is Kirkman said he would not do this.
Right.
He said it
right.
was going to be
did.
Completely different.
Way different.
Well, if I remember correctly,
he
said there will be
checks.
Portions of it that coincide with it, but for the most part, it will be different.
Yeah, and it is still different for the most part.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you.
The way they all...
I mean, Daryl's still alive, and that's a good thing.
Daryl's still on the comic books.
Now, they've added different characters, whatever, but I can tell you, here's what's going to happen next season. They're going to escape when Tyree shows up. They'll escape. Alright, and they'll go on the run trying to hunt the group from Terminus while they're trying to hunt them. About midway in the season, they'll find a church with a black preacher that saved Beth, and that's where
they'll find there. They've already shown that Beth's not with the black preacher.
Yeah, there's another person there.
Beth's with a group of people, and they're like in some building because they make her go down an elevator shaft.
Yeah, they're getting into some different
things. Well, you know, I mean... the whole hunting of the hunted, you know, hunt
I
the
think
hunted.
You're assuming a little bit.
You're the hunted.
I think you're assuming a little bit.
I hope you are.
I hope
bit.
You are too, because I don't want to see that. I don't want to see
but
a direct
they've
adaptation.
Already, they've already
although
changed
it would be
the
awesome.
Cannibal group. It's a big group of people in the comic. It was like five people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
It's going
no
to be the same basic storyline.
And there's no Dell for them.
I mean,
but hasn't it been the same basic storyline?
In the comic book.
The prison in Woodbury thing was pretty much fleshed out in the comic.
Now,
the governor
no,
the same
here's
way.
The thing. No. All right, until they started the last season, they redid the end of the prison.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
To be like the comic.
Yeah.
Him coming back with the tank is so they could end it like the comic.
Yes.
That's why they did that.
And that's what disappointed you.
Yes, that's a huge disappointment.
Yes.
They took what was a good ending
in the comic.
In the TV show, they took what was a unique example and sat and ruined that ending
by adapting comic books.
And then to give it this totally pointless.
Yeah.
Circular loop. I mean,
I see
pardon
what you're
my French. The first half of that season was a freaking circle jerk.
Yeah,
just to
was.
Get the governor back
no,
there to show up with a tank.
I agreed with that.
You know, and then at the end of
the
it,
flu. I hated the flu. That was so stupid.
And then the end of it, they were going to be trying to be so much like the comic book. And you know that they even tilted the camera when they introduced Abraham so they could match the frame.
Yeah,
and you know, and I'm like, really? I mean, okay, it'd be one thing to do homages or to take themes like that, you know, from it.
But they're taking direct plot lines and throwing them in and character and
and I'm at least changing up so I can be surprised.
So basically, you don't want them to do like they did the '90s version of Psycho. When they redid Psycho and it's a scene
shot.
For scene
terrible
exact
no,
movie.
No, I want them. I don't mind if they're doing scene for scene.
You just want them,
but
to
they're
mid-all
not doing scene for
you
scene.
You want them to either do it all or do none.
Either if it's going
to
be like the comic book,
needs
make
to
it
be like
exactly
the comic book.
Be like the comic book.
This, I understand
this
what you're
trying,
saying.
You
I
know,
don't think
versus
that's, yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope one of the characters doesn't get bit and. Then walks off and gets eaten by the Terminus group and laughs, cackling, "Oh, I've been bit. I'm tainted meat." You know, I hope that doesn't happen. I bet it does.
We'll see. We'll see.
Now, I have a problem with Abraham. He looks too comic bookish to me.
Right.
He looks
see, it doesn't work.
In real life.
In real life.
All three of those characters introduced.
What was the first thing you pointed out about him when we first watched the episode?
Yeah.
What was the first thing I said about
his hair?
His hair.
No.
His hair
is identical I can show you the page in the comic book where that scene where they're standing by the truck.
It's Abraham, the smart dude with the
mullet. And they're in
the
same. They're in the same outfits, the same haircuts.
Same stance.
They even make them stand the same way.
Same smirk.
And say the same line.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
didn't the guy's mullet would be gray in the comics and not like brown like it was
well,
in
the
show?
It's supposed to be. They make reference to him being a redhead like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire comic book is in black and white.
I didn't like the mullet on him.
Yeah.
Don't like the mullet.
But the stuff that happened to Abraham in that group. After they were introduced in the comic, is in no way what happened to Abraham and that group after they were introduced in the show. Other things happened to them.
Yes and no.
They weren't specifically those things. But yeah, they're certainly taking stuff from
the
comic.
But if you have a really good story.
After Abraham was introduced.
But they're taking. Well, they're not. There's one thing for them to take concepts and ideas, but they're trying to, like, force scenes in there.
But every once in a while,
but they have to look at it and go, well, there
and
are comic fans
but
that
here's the
would
thing.
Want
they're
to
slowly
see that.
Becoming more and more.
I'm okay with that. Are you not okay with the direct adaptation? If it eventually turned into where The Walking Dead that's on right now turned into exactly what we read in the comic, I'd be totally cool with that. And then they're going to do this spin-off that's obviously going to be all new content.
Well, have you read that they've given like a character synopsis for like six characters?
Yeah, for the new show.
Yeah.
And they're different characters.
I've been avoiding spoilers.
Well, those aren't spoilers.
Yeah. Well, I. Yeah.
That's news, man.
I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens in the continuation of the story between Daryl and Carol Daryl and Beth. Yes. Because this past season, they kind of built this strange relationship
with Carol and Daryl.
With Beth.
Well, they had
Daryl and Beth.
Well,
and it's
but
almost
it was so kinda, fast. It moved so fast,
right,
so it was hard to know if there was actually anything
exactly
chemistry there.
That was my point.
Carol
but
and Daryl, you could tell there was chemistry there.
You could, but he thinks that Carol's gone.
Yeah,
he doesn't know Carol's.
I haven't
the
read the comic books. I know generally what happens in the comic books, but y'all have read them. Is Rick as much of a not a good leader in the comic books as he is on the show?
He's about the same, I would say.
I don't really like him as a leader.
I like him as a leader because
I think he's too indecisive.
Rick is a lot of people's
I think that's what makes
character.
Him a good leader. I think that's what makes him a good leader. He doesn't say, okay, this is exactly what we have to do because this is the situation. He looks at the situation and he realizes that every single situation is a different sort of
it
bad.
It is, but I believe too many people have died because of that indecision.
See, here's the thing.
I look at it, everybody doesn't
but
like Shane.
Rick,
I think if Shane was alive, they would be at the prison and almost everybody that's dead in the group would be alive now.
But why?
Because he would have taken
Shane
charge.
Exactly, but what would Shane have done?
Shane would have beat the shit out of everybody.
But Lori wouldn't have died because they wouldn't have had to go running off.
Okay.
Herschel wouldn't have lost his leg because he'd have said, you're too old to go do this, so you stay back here.
All right. Well, no, if Rick went around, Herschel probably would have died because he got bit with his leg.
That's but that, but he wouldn't have even let him go.
Shane would have never thought that.
Shane and Herschel would have been at odds, and I think pretty much Shane would have left Herschel at the farm.
Yep.
But Herschel and Rick were at odds.
All right.
For the simple fact of Rick was not taking charge.
Here's
Herschel thought
what would have happened if if Rick never came in and we just followed that group of characters, they would never left the quarry.
No, bring Rick in.
Well, they would eventually had to leave the quarry.
They
got overrun by the time.
I would have
liked. Right.
Yeah.
No.
I don't mind Rick being there. I don't mind Rick taking charge at certain points. But there are times where you need that person that says, this is what we're going to do because we need to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't see Rick doing that. Here's the difference between Shane and Rick. Rick has a human element to him. Shane was a dead man inside.
Yes.
He had no human compassion.
But I blame that all on Lori. I blame that all on Lori.
He had compassion towards Lori and
the show,
and the kid. But for the most part, he has no human element.
From what
to
I've
him.
Seen, for like I said, I just watched the show. I blame it all on Lori for the simple fact of he did rescue them.
Who? Shane.
Shane rescued Lori and Carl.
Yeah.
When Rick came back, Lori could have went about it a different way of saying, instead of saying, stay away from me and my son, she could have said, okay, we have a problem. We need to talk about it and fix it.
No.
But she didn't.
Shane's
she
an
said,
idiot.
She said, stay
no,
away
Rick,
from me and my
she
son.
She shouldn't have to say anything to somebody's wife that, oh, hey, you know, we probably
shouldn't
do this anymore. No, she shouldn't have to say to Shane.
I'm not saying that, but she could have said, instead of saying, stay away from me and my son, all he was doing when she said that was teaching her son how to do something.
Doing a fatherly thing.
A fatherly thing that he had been doing.
That's stepping on the toes of the
man
who's
was
been
gone.
Out of their
Rick,
life.
But Rick was
for
not
so
there
long.
Either to do that. But you have to do something with that child.
But you also have to look at when Rick came back. He wasn't in 100% place with everybody else.
Exactly.
He was having to figure out the new world because he had just woken up.
But she could have went about it
a
different
way. To that point, in Atlanta, he did take over a leadership role. Glenn and everybody who was there, T-Dog, even Merle. Me too.
Well,
even Merle, to an extent, they were all looking up to him as a leader, at a leadership role. Even though Merle hated him for it because his leadership role was to handcuff him to a freaking pipe.
Well,
but
Merle
still,
was the one causing all the problems.
Yeah,
but
and Rick took care of it.
But I still think she's the one that pushed him over that edge with that.
Well,
I think
what
she
did he
put
just
him
say?
Between
Rick
him
took
and
care
Rick.
Of Merle.
Yes.
Right? Did that not come back to bite Rick in his ass?
It,
yes.
It did.
Because he should have
taken
care of it a
different
wasn't, way.
But it also, but if, would you want him to kill him?
No, he should have never handcuffed
him.
Well,
he should have never handcuffed him, but whose fault was it that he stayed there? Was it Rick's?
Well, it was T-Dog.
It was because he gave it to someone. It was because he gave it to someone else. He didn't take initiative and go,
I think if you look at the very first episode of all The Walking Dead, Shane already has a thing for Lori at that point.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And he's just waiting for Rick to get out of the picture. When Rick does come out of the picture, after Shane was granted his dream of having this beautiful wife and amazing son, when Rick comes back, that's when Shane loses his humanity.
Exactly.
Everything that was given to him, this awesome gift, was taken away from him. And what is given to the people who he loses, the one thing that they wanted this whole time is back to them. Of course he's going to go insane. Of course
he's going to go insane. The whole thing with Lori coming up pregnant.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who the baby belongs to, but he's assuming that baby's his.
Exactly.
And it probably is.
We still don't know who Judith belongs to. Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, let's get off Walking Dead.
Right, that battle does. All I'm going to say is I want to be surprised this season.
And you're hoping you don't feel like you will. I'm not expecting to be. Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong.
The only way you're ever going to be surprised is if someone comes up with something brand new that nobody's ever seen.
Well, the new Walking Dead book or a show has to be. They can't pull stuff out of this.
They can pull whatever they haven't done in this show.
But it would be the same elements that they pull out of any zombie story.
Yeah. We'll see. Which, speaking of, Z Nation, it's a lighter take. I'm liking it. Sci-fi zombie show.
Haven't watched it. I've heard okay things.
One of the best characters, DJ Qualls.
Yeah.
So in the first episode, he is a NSA system op and a base in Alaska or Antarctica somewhere. And they're leaving everybody's getting on the plane and they leave them there. And as soon as they take off, a bolt of lightning strikes the plane, and it crashes and blows up. So he's stuck there. Presumably the only member of the NSA alive.
Oh, wow.
Because they were flying to join up with what was left of the government.
Oh, neat.
And then to find out that base is overrun or whatever. So
it's kind of like a World War Z type approach.
That was my worry. That's why I didn't watch it.
And they tried to say it would be better than The Walking Dead.
All right, that happens.
You should never do
that. No. All right, so this happens. That's the first episode. And so he is stuck trying to get a hold of people. And the series starts 3 years later.
Oh, cool.
So he's half kind of crazy. But are they
part of like a group? Are they part of a town?
Then it flashes 3 years later.
Yeah.
And there's one guy that was a prisoner. And he was experimented on with zombie vaccines. And basically he's the only person to have survived a zombie bite.
Okay.
So, and everybody else is dead. So his goal is trying to get him.
That sounds weird.
There's one soldier who's trying to get him to people that can replicate it and vaccinate everybody.
So basically it's The Last of Us.
So there's a cure. I haven't seen The Last of Us.
I haven't played The Last of Us. I haven't played either, but I read the story.
If that's the plot line, then yeah. So, but anyway, everybody dies except for that prisoner, and then other people taking over, whatever. But anyway, so there's a group going through a trek, blah, blah, blah. But the way it's done is a little more lighthearted, a little more funny.
Okay.
They were running over people, and it's like, running over zombies. Like, I think I got a flat, and he goes to pull the tire off. And there's a zombie stuck up under the wheel, and he's like,
that's awesome.
It's a lighthearted take on the apocalypse.
So it's definitely, I like it. It's worth watching if you're a zombie fan.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
It's got a little bit of Land of the Dead in it.
Right. It's like the first episode, there's a high-speed zombie baby running around.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Well,
I'll give that a look.
We were sitting there talking the other night about how if they ever wanted to end The Walking Dead, how they could end it. Robert Kirkman, if you ever hear this, please contact us. It's basically you don't answer any questions at all. You just have them walk towards Mexico, and it's only the United States, and everybody gets shot.
When they get to the border.
They start going there and...
And that's how you end it. You answer nothing.
It was only in America.
I wouldn't want that, man.
I would rather it just be the crazy dream sequence where...
Carl wakes up with his dad.
No, it's Rick... It's like a dream sequence where Rick just wakes up and it's like there's an alien invasion and the governor's helping everybody.
The Wizard of Oz and Shane and Lori are right next to him. The comic picture could shrink and it just shows Robert Kirkman writing it.
Yeah.
theoretically, it'll end if Rick dies, because it's supposed to be his life or whatever.
Yeah, Rick, yeah.
Now, I personally...
I don't want it to end. That's the point.
That's what I wanted the comic book to do after All Out War, was basically when they introduced this whole new group of people, that it'd be a whole new group of people eventually in the Rick.
It may actually be that eventually.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking, starting to get, but... Because Rick is cuckoo.
Well,
he's more cuckoo than usual.
But I wish they would have shot Rick.
Walking around.
I wish Carl would have shot Rick better back when he's crazy. In like issue 70 or something.
I don't like him when he's
Rick
normal.
Makes better decisions when he's seeing, you know, his wife.
That's
his dead wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, what would Lori do?
Yeah, look at his bracelet. What would Lori do?
All right, so, that's about time. We
Seriously?
Need to wrap it up. Final thoughts?
It was mostly TV we talked about today. So I'll say what I've been watching recently. I skipped the first season, you know, in its first run. But I went back and started watching The Blacklist. Awesome show.
My mom liked that show.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It'll give you a good insight on how James Spader might do Ultron.
Yes. He's brilliant in the show. And, of course, it's got, you know, your everyday... spy cop show sort of tropes going on, but it's good. It's a fun show, and Spader, yeah, is awesome. That's me.
There he is. This a magic card?
Is it a magic card?
He said he called you the other day and you talked smack to him on the phone.
No, he called me and asked me if I knew what was coming out.
Yeah.
And if I knew what it was about.
No, I asked you.
Oh, the
I
Thor comic.
He asked me if the new Thor is the one with the girl in it. And I'm like, I don't know.
Is that
I
a magic card? And you said, is that a magic card?
Oh, yeah. Right, jokingly, goodness. I said, is that a magic card? Why do you expect me to know about it?
Where's the magic
work
guy?
Here?
But that's David's final thought. Thor number one with the new Thor, the new female Thor, came out today. It looks awesome.
Yeah, and of course,
I'm not getting it.
I would have Googled it. But
he's got internet just like you.
Well, now I would have Googled it and answered his question, which, you know, he obviously could have done.
Yeah.
But he called while Mark was at lunch, and I had a line at the register.
Yeah.
So
you need to hit me up next time you got a comic book question, man.
Look on the internet. Yeah,
so
they're always wrong.
I told you, I'll ask Mark, and if it is, I'll tell him to put one in the box.
I told you I didn't have time to call you back because I was going to work.
Right.
So there was no way, ladies, I mentioned it
to Mark to put one in the box and you have one. So, okay.
I'm the chick at the table and you guys are catfighting. That's not cool.
Yeah. You guys have any final thoughts?
I do. Did anybody find you at Wizard World?
Well, no. Justin found me, but he didn't say the phrase.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was hoping.
I'm just saying it sucked that we had to miss Wizard World because... I would have loved to have met Brent Spiner and, you know, just a few
My friend got to meet William Shatner, get a
Dean
picture.
Kane.
And
oh
as
gosh.
He was in there, Brent Spiner came in and said, I'm not feeling good. I got a cold. And William Shatner said, what is it to me? I'm not going to kiss you.
Nice.
So what
that was like one of the moments in the William Shatner Q&A was basically he was like his life advice to moments was like, look at everything with the awe and wonder of a child. And then his other advice was, we're all going to die. Me before others. But we're all going to die. And then at the end of it, this 11-year-old kid, asked him like this technical question about Star Trek. And he went off on some complete tangent. And then he goes, dilithium crystals are unique in the universe because they vibrate at a certain resonant frequency. So you can take one dilithium crystal, break it in two, and you can have this... And he was talking about, I'm like,
quantum entanglement.
I'm like, holy crap, he's talking about quantum entanglement.
So it's kind of like Galaxy Quest in real life.
Well, yeah, right?
Yeah, but Mass Effect's where I first learned about quantum entanglement.
No, I mean where a kid asks a question and the actor's actually answering the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he was like, you know, teleporters and warp drive are the same thing. And they're like, no, they're not the same thing. But the funniest moment is when he did Khan.
And he yelled, Khan!
Gotta do that. Gotta do it.
It's cool.
And I did ask Michael Roker a question at the Q&A.
What'd you ask him?
You've been in Slither, Super, and Guardians of the Galaxy, all three James Gunn films.
what is it about James Gunn that you like so much that brings you back to him?
What'd he say?
And he's like, it's not about James Gunn. It's about the material. He's my buddy, so you gotta help your buddies out.
That's like Johnny Depp being in Tim Burton movies.
Yeah, it pretty much did.
Speaking
feel
of
like
Johnny
that.
Depp, my final thought, I was in a Tusk.
It's done so well, even though it bombed.
It is such a weird movie.
Oh, you did see Tusk.
I did. I enjoyed it, but it is a weird movie. You've got to like weird movies.
Yeah.
And parts of it are really well, parts of it are really bad. Basically, this is how this movie... If you and a bunch of your friends got together, smoked a lot of pot, and said, this is a great movie idea... Let's make this movie. The only difference is that him and his friends actually make movies.
Yeah.
And they do. So some of it seems well written and well done. Other parts seemed like they were
pretty
happy.
Is it a horror movie or a horror
comedy?
It's
a suspense.
A horror suspense. So it's there is no true horror.
So there's no comedy?
It is not gore porn.
No, this was a joke that turned into a real thing.
Well, I know, but I'm saying I've watched the trailer, and I didn't know if it was actually going to be any comedic in the movie.
In the trailer, it was just them making the... They were just making jokes in the podcast.
I saw the new trailer.
And then
it actually shows part of the movie, and it just... It seemed like
the news.
This was the new
human
centipede. Is what it looked like.
No.
God,
that's what the new trailer made.
The news
like.
Coming out of Tusk is not how awesome or terrible Tusk is. It's that Kevin Smith has now said because Tusk
he's got
made him some money, he's doing Clerks 3,
he's got
which
the
is all I care about.
That gave him
the financing for Clerks 3.
That's all I care about.
I made a joke, made a movie, now I'm making the movie everybody wants.
Yeah, now he's making a movie everybody wants.
He made
with
this
my
on,
boys behind the counter where they should be.
And of course he's actually said something, he may do a Clerks spinoff starring his daughter.
I'd be cool with that.
But he said Clerks 3 was his next
yes,
movie.
Yes, he said Clerks
3
is done or scripted and ready and funded now that Tusk did what it did.
So,
he said he was proud of that failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clerks is by far the best Smith stuff, man. You have to admit.
This is, this is definitely a Kevin Smith movie. It
Tusk.
Does. You Tusk. Yeah. Yeah. So,
does Jay and Silent Bob show up?
No.
He rolls his eyes.
It's not that kind of movie.
But you have to admit Clerks is Smith's best stuff, man.
Yes.
I love it.
Clerks and Mallrats.
Yes.
Well,
I put those all in the same category.
Universe. Yeah.
Well, but now Jay and Silent Bob aren't the Askewverse. The Askewverse expands beyond that.
Yes, but they are still part of it.
They're five movie trilogy.
They're the CPO and R2-D2 of that universe.
Yeah, right.
They are the not the main characters in.
But this movie takes place in Canada, not New Jersey.
Yeah,
yeah, but
yeah.
So if it took place in New Jersey, I would expect to see them.
Tusk is definitely not in the Askewverse, but. I want to see more of the Clerk stuff. I want to see more Jay and Silent Bob. That's where I think Smith...
Yeah, definitely, those will be a commercial hit.
Yeah.
I'll be in the theaters to see it.
I cannot wait. Clerks 3 in 3D IMAX, baby.
I doubt it'll be in 3D.
Yeah, oh, me too. I'm talking smack, dude.
It might be in black
I won't
and white.
Go see it if it's in 3D IMAX. If it's not black and white
I
with
would,
shitty editing.
Come see Kevin Smith talk in 3D.
Yeah.
And full stereo surround sound.
But now, dude, I want to see a movie that's just a day in the life of the guys from the store.
That's going to come a lot from his life, and
with them owning the store now,
and
you know,
really, he's got like Yoga Hosers coming out next, some other stuff.
He still wants to do Krampus. He still talks about Krampus all the time, man.
Never going to top the Venture Brothers version of Krampus.
I hate Krampus.
It's like last year, everybody did a Krampus episode.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
Grimm. Every show.
Grimm
did it.
American Dad.
American Dad did it.
Yeah.
But Venture Brothers still.
No. He wants to do a whole Krampus Christmas movie that's like the anti-Christmas movie. And it'd be a great idea, but no. I'd so much rather see another Clerks film, dude.
I'd like to see
Jay and Silent Bob, another Jay and Silent Bob film. I don't care. That's where he
excels,
man.
I mean,
You can disagree with Smith. That's where he sells. That's where he lives.
No, I'm saying I don't know if you can put Jason Mewes in a movie.
You can. He's working now. He's doing the podcast with him. He's working. He's going to be in the movie.
Have you seen any of his video?
He looks
lately?
Bad.
Yeah, I mean,
but he didn't age well. He a lot of drugs when he was young, and he just didn't age well. He can still be in the movie. It actually makes more sense for Jay to look like that now
because of the drugs.
Because of the drugs.
I mean, this. Now he Jason Mewes looks really.
Oh yeah, he looks
really
bad.
Rough.
Yeah, he does. Looks rough. He looked rough back then.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, he did, but
yeah, but you look at the 90s, Smith, he looks good.
In the 90s, though, people were allowed Smith's to look pretty good. Like that, and not
he wears no, like
but
now
he looks.
I know, but yeah. But his face,
like
it looks like he hasn't aged that much.
Kevin Smith
looks like he hasn't aged that much.
That's why he wears a hockey jersey. He's got tattoos everywhere.
Yeah,
really
cool.
Some demonic spells.
Yeah,
it'll happen before Krampus.
I hope so, dude. I'd like to see it done by the end of 2015, man. I'd love to see it next year.
No.
Oh, you won't get it next year.
I would love to see it.
Here's the thing. If it was going to come out next year, first off, it'd have to be the end of the year.
Yeah.
Nobody's wanting to go against Star Wars next year in December.
True.
Nobody.
If they haven't started shooting yet, it's going to take 3 to 4 years.
Oh, what? Because of all the special effects they throw in the Clerks movies? Come on, dude. He did Clerks 1 in what, six, seven months with editing?
Yeah, you can get it. You can get
I'm
it.
I'm just
done.
Saying.
Shoestring budget.
And that's the kind of film I
did.
Want. But that's the
yes,
kind
that's
of Clerks
not,
I
want. That's
not
what you're
going to
get.
That's
now.
The only reason I wish
you'll
it was
you'll
out
get next. A Clerks with a lot of money.
That was what Clerks 2 was.
Yeah, Clerks 2, still, even Clerks 2.
Took 3 years.
I know. But Clerks 1, seriously, like 8 months to film, shoot, and edit that whole
damn
thing.
But here's the thing. Now, it's not that it's going to take that long. It's going to be spaced out.
Yeah.
Like a traditional production.
Because of the studios. And, right. Yeah, yeah.
And, no, because Kevin Smith is always whoring himself out.
You're right. Mm-hmm. I wish he'd stop and just do stuff that he knows his fans want to see, man. Damn
it. I'm tired of comic book men.
But anyway.
I know shit. I'm tired. That's so fake. It's so bad.
See, Comic Book Man lost me episode one. I watched the first episode. I'm like, okay, that's enough.
It's so fake. It's like someone would come in here with like a really expensive comp. You'd be like, hey, can you bring that in next week when we have the film crew here? You know, so we can film you selling this book, and I'll act surprised like I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
That's what it feels
Let
like.
Let me
to
break
me.
Out
it's
the
bad.
White gloves.
It's so
yeah,
bad.
But that's my hope
I
of all
do
comic
like
book
seeing
shops.
The
that's
different
what it
items
is.
That
and it's always like that.
Hey,
that's the only reason
like
I watch
King Kong suit. Well, you smell like.
So he wants to own a comic book shop one day.
That's the only reason I watch.
So that's what he's hoping.
See the new items.
Yeah, man. You need to be talking to this guy.
Do you, Mark? Do you suggest someone go into the comic book business?
Only if you really hate comic books, right?
And money, right?
And money. That's any small business, man.
I don't know. The worst day at a comic shop still beats
yes.
the best day I ever had in
a
cubicle.
In a cubicle. That's the
or
best quote ever.
At Home Depot.
Right.
That's the best
amen.
Quote.
Amen. You know, definitely worst day at a comic book shop. Better.
However, I'm going on vacation.
The,
just 7 hours. Not that I'm counting or anything.
Yeah. You know, better than
cool.
the best day in corporate
hell.
With that being said, come see us at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Or check us out, out online at ComicCity2.com and OutrightGeekery.com.
Man, I heard good things about that Outright Geekery website.
Yeah, I heard they had some pretty awesome con coverage.
I heard shameless plug here.